past remembrance of the grace and the goodness of God to the nation and to him as an individual. Then in 4-7, he's challenged by what God can do. There's his present request, turn us, save us, revive us, show us thy mercy, grant us thy salvation. Then he's controlled by what God will say. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. In 10-13 is confidence. Confidence in what God will give. What will he give? Truth springing out of the earth, righteousness looking down from heaven. The Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. So here's a man then thankful, as he recalls the ability of God and the past experience of the nation. Thou hast been favorable unto thy land, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Refreshed as he recalls the munificence and the beneficence of God to the nation. Thou hast been favorable unto thy land, a sense of divine favor. We think of the Israelite, that land was covenanted to them. It was chosen by God. It was conquered by God. And he passed it on to the nation. Where are we today, beloved? Blessed with every blessing of the Spirit in the heavenlies in Christ. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. May we rejoice today in divine favor. There's not only divine favor here, there's divine freedom here. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Jacob went back to his father in Genesis 32. He was refreshed, he was revived, and he rejoiced in God. God changed that man at Peniel that night. He was lame as he walked, lame upon his feet from that day onward. Divine freedom. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We're the freest people in the universe today, all because of the favor of God, because of the forgiveness of God. Thou hast forgiven all the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. So we rejoice today as we think of divine forgiveness. Thou hast forgiven all our sins. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Here's a sense of fellowship enjoyed with God, the anger of God gone. The fierceness of his wrath was met at Calvary. It has been removed forever from your soul and mine through the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the thankful man becomes a prayerful man in verses 4-7. He's praying for the restraint of the anger of God. He rejoices in the ability of God, what God has been, what God has done. Now he requests, and he wants the restraint of divine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, cause thine anger to cease. Here's a man praying for restoration. Turn us, O God of our salvation. We need to be turned like Moses. As he saw divine resources that day, he turned to see that sight as the bush burned but was not consumed. He had a revelation given him that day of the wonderful resources of God for the nation in redeeming grace and by the redeeming blood of Exodus chapter 12. Do we need to be turned? We need to turn like Mary and have a vision of the risen Lord. She says, my dear master. Later on, Thomas, he says, my Lord and my God. Have we lost the vision of the risen Christ today? Is he dear to us? Is he near to us? Is he everything to us? Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Wilt thou be angry with us forever and draw thine anger to all generations? Not only praying for restoration, the restraint of divine anger. Here's a man praying for revival. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? The man word said in verse 4, turn us, O God of our salvation. Don't throw out thine anger to all generations. Revive us. Show us thy mercy. Grant us thy salvation. Notice this lovely prayer of this dear man. It's marked by urgency. We need to be turned. We need to be revived. We need to show the face and see the face of God. We need his hand to be upon us. We need to hear his voice and to experience something of his amazing grace. It's marked by urgency. I sat and wept last night as I heard the urgency of the prayers of God's people for blessing not only in the campaign, but during this conference. Turn us, spare us, hear us, save us, have mercy upon us, grant us thy salvation. The urgency of this man's prayer. I wonder, beloved, if we realize the urgency of the situation, the day in which we live. Anarchy in the world, apostasy in Christendom, the last apathy in the church. Where are we, beloved? Oh, that we might cry for God to turn, to save, to grant us his salvation, and the vision of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Not only marked by urgency, it's marked by brevity. There's only 56 words in these verses 4 to 7. Here's a man who's brief because he's burdened. Here's a man who's brave because he wants to be blessed. And in the eye and in the ear of God, he pours out his petition, brief, bright, and brotherly. Why? He realizes how dead they were. We need to be revived. How depressed we are. Show us thy mercy. How delinquent we are. We've turned away from the ways and the path of obedience and of truth. So he prays with brevity. And thank God he prays with honesty. Wilt thou not revive us again? Is that the need of the moment? Is that your need, my brother, my sister? We need to be revived. Some of us look back to the old days when God blessed and honored his word and saved souls by the dozen. Is that day gone, beloved? Are we too rich to bend? Are we too proud to weep? Are we too big for God to use? Are we too far away from God to listen? I will hear what God the Lord will speak. The absolute honesty of this dear man as he bows in God's presence. Then it's marred by sincerity. What's the source of revival? Thou. Can it be worked up? It must come down. Where that the conditions are there, God will speak and God will act and God will bless. The source of revival. The scope of revival. Thy people may rejoice in thee. Revive us again. Go back to 1 Samuel 7, the first revival in the Bible. Think of Hezekiah. Think of Joash. Think of the day of Pentecost. It's possible that God can do a great work again. If we'll bend, if we'll bow, if we'll weep, if we'll cry, wilt thou not revive us again? What's the product of revival? What will it bring to us? First of all, it will bring a new joy to the heart. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Make an acrostic in that word, rejoice. Write down the things you think you should rejoice in. May we hear again the apostle say, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. We've not only lost our power, our burning passion for men and women, for souls, we've lost the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. That thy people may rejoice in thee. You think of the upper room ministry, the Lord stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then these lovely words are penned, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. My brother, my sister, dare I ask you today, when last did you see the Lord? Is your vision clouded? Is your heart cold? Are your desires waning? Is materialism gripping your heart and governing your life? That thy people may rejoice in thee. It brings a new joy to the heart. Not only so, brought a new light to the eye. Show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. Is there a vision comparable to the vision of a glorified Christ? We need the experience of those in the Holy Mount that day. They saw no man save Jesus only. But they brought a new resolution to his life. Notice what he says in verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. If nothing else is accomplished over these 3 days in his will, but have a resolution to hear the voice of God, something will be done for eternity. Something will be done in your heart and mind. You will hear the word of the Lord. Is that true of Mary? She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Is that true of young Samuel? Speak, Lord, that thy servant heareth. Is that true of John in the Isle of Patmos? He saw the vision of the Son of Man and he heard the voice of God, a voice like the thunder. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee. A new resolution to the life. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. The new rest to the mind, he will speak peace unto his people. Great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Think of our 3 brethren today, passing through trial as a result of these accidents. May the peace of God garrison their heart and keep their mind through Christ Jesus. Great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. A new rest to the mind, the peace of God, will garrison our hearts and keep our minds through Christ Jesus. But it will bring a new restraint to the will. The last clause of verse 8 says, but let them not turn again to folly. Is that Absalom? Is that Ahab and many others who had the blessing of God, yet them and gone in their idolatry? They will not turn again to folly. Look over the last few months. Where have we been? What have we been doing? Have we been working for God? Have we been listening to his word? Have we been encouraging his people, seeking the lost in all their misery and sin? I will not turn again to folly. For in verse 9, it will bring a new reverence to our spirit. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. The glory may dwell in the land. A new reverence to his spirit. I've enjoyed every minute I've spent in your lovely city, Vancouver, but I've often been disturbed as I've looked down on the audience. Bibles in their hand but not open to hear what God the Lord will speak. My brother, my sister, young man, young woman, in God's name today, holy and reverent is his name. Revere the good word of God, the fragrant name of the Lord Jesus, the blessed help of the Holy Spirit. neither the reverence in our hearts. Salvation is nigh them that fear Him. Holy and reverent is His name. Think of verse 10. A new appreciation of Calvary. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy is the heart of God revealed to us at Calvary. Truth is the will of God for us every moment of our life. Righteousness is the character of God. He expects us to be holy, just, righteous. And peace is the blessing of God. And they all met at Calvary. We need a new appreciation of the man Christ Jesus. Maybe by the Spirit of God and under the influence of the Word of God, sit afresh under the shadow of Calvary, sitting down, they watch Him there. Occupation with the Lord Jesus is the solution to every problem in my life, and it will settle every problem in my assembly. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that He can enter in your heart for which He died. Give this man place, a new appreciation of Calvary. Then this man is restful. He's assured of the blessing of God. Verses 12 and 13. His general life will be helped. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. His spiritual life will be blessed. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace shall kiss each other. In the national life in verse 12, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. The land shall yield her increase. So here's a man with a sense, refreshment of soul. The Lord will give that which is good. Said of Onesiphorus, the apostle says, he oft refreshed my chain. Said of Philemon, the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Refreshment for the soul. And eventually the manifestation of glory. The Lord will not only give that which is good, our land shall yield her increase. Shall we pray today? Wilt thou not revive us again? What do we need revived in our assemblies today? The letter R. Reverence for the presence of God and the Word of God. The letter E. A revival of enthusiasm in His service, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The letter V, victory over sin. The problem here, the hindrance to revival was sin, materialism, indifference to the things of God. Victory over sin and over the world. His deliverance from this present evil age. May we live separated lives, sanctified lives, lives that will be serviceable to God and to one another. The letter I, we need to revive a revival of interest in the saints. We're all too cold and sometimes too critical. Do you love your brother? You in good terms with every member of your assembly? If not, my brother, my sister, in God's name, I pray you today, get right with God and get right with them and take an interest in the saints. The letter V, the value of precious souls. Why so few tears in our prayer meeting today? Have we lost compassion for our fellow men and women? Are we ashamed to speak for the Lord? This is a cold and different world that's fast ripening for judgment. The coming of the Lord is very, very near. Oh, that God will give me the love of Christ and my heart for the saints, for men and women who need the Savior. May He revive the value of a perishing soul. As we look into one another's eyes, may we remember a child of God for whom Christ died. The letter A, a revival of appreciation of the Lord Jesus. Is that necessary today? My life is governed by my affection for and appreciation of my glorious Lord. God has decreed that in all things He should have the preeminence. May our heart indite a good matter. May we sing and speak of things touching the King. For grace was poured into His lips, and God has blessed Him forever. May we have a growing appreciation of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The letter L, may there be a revival of looking for the coming again of Christ. Would you like Him to come today, my brother? My sister? Have you any account to settle? Are there problems you need solved? The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Shall we pray again this prayer then? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?